Up next, we're joined by our video producer, Luke Groskin, who has... He's come into the studio pouring a pint of beer. Oh, that looks...
Yummy.
That looks very... You know, it's Beer Friday in our shop. I know that, but it's a little early to start drinking. But that's got some head on that beer.
It does indeed, but I'm not actually going to be drinking this. This is actually a fluid physics demonstration.
Fluid physics
demonstration. That's correct. I'm demonstrating the marvelously stabilizing power of beer foam, which is the topic of our newest Science Friday video up on our website. And you can actually hear a little preview.
A group of mechanical engineers walk into a bar. They order some beers when one accidentally bumps into the table. Their drinks slosh, but the foamy beer doesn't spill. Now, maybe it was just the booze, or maybe it's just how engineers see the world. But a fundamental question bubbled up.
Why is it easier to carry a beer with foam on the top rather than a cup of coffee?
Why is it easier to carry a beer with foam on the top?
It keeps me up at night.
A cup of coffee or a glass of wine, I guess, right?
Yeah, any sort of beverage, foam versus no foam. When it has foam, it's easier to walk around with it. It doesn't spill as much. It has no foam, and it sloshes around.
You know, now you mention that, I noticed that when you drink like a cappuccino, and the waitress puts it down on the table, it just sits there. It's not sloshing around like a cup of coffee.
Exactly.
And there's real science behind why that happens.
Yes, there's actually a lot of science behind this. This is the science of foam. And basically what's going on is the foam is reducing the waves that are moving through the glass. And there's a group of researchers that was mentioned in the video, fluid mechanics, who are working as part of the complex fluids group at the Princeton University. Mm-hmm. And what they wanted to know why. They wanted to know what is it actually going on with the foam that's preventing the sloshing. Mm-hmm. And, when I first heard about this, I thought, okay, I'll get there. I'll go film this. And, you know, they'll have, like, pint glasses everywhere. There'll be six packs of beer. There'll be, you know.
Party beer. On.
Yeah, I was expecting that. No, right. This is rigorous, real science. What they did was they built a little table, and they put a little glass container, not even a pint glass, a very uniform glass container. And they didn't even use beer. They just used water with a little bit of soap in it to make it a little bit more viscous. And they have these little bubbles that come up all of the uniform size. And what they're doing is they're trying to isolate all the different variables so that they can study the actual effect of it.
I'm Ira Flater. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. Talking with Luke Groskin, who's done our video pick of the week, about how the foam affects the sloshing.
Yes,
in the
glass. Foam. Your beer foam.
Your beer. And so what did they conclude? What is the physics going on here?
So the trick here is weirdly enough, friction. Now, when I think of bubbles, I don't think of friction.
Yeah.
So apparently bubbles create friction. So when you have a beer and the bubbles inside your glass are touching one another and they're touching the sides of the glass and they're touching the actual liquid surface of the beer and they get sloshed around, there's more friction. You could call this increased viscosity. That's a very technical way of describing it. Yeah, it sounds good.
Very Benji.
They call it damped harmonic oscillations, which is way too technical. We'll just call it friction. So the bubbles create friction, and that prevents the beer from sloshing around in your glass. And, when I first heard this, I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. That's pretty awesome. And I was like, so why are you studying this? What makes this? Why? And they made it really clear to me that, you know, this wasn't just, you know, fun and games. They're not just playing around with beer in the lab. They have a higher goal. So when you have an oil tanker or even a truck tanker and it's carrying fluid inside, all that sloshing can be dangerous, especially during stormy seas or if the truck is making a turn and the fluid sloshes over, you could have an accident.
Turn over the truck.
Exactly. Yeah. So you could, and that sloshing can cause serious damage to the containers that it's in. So if you put a little foam on top, perhaps you could prevent that damage.
Wow.
So that's their large scale eventual goal. But their next step is first they're going to start putting the foam inside circular containers to really verify the data in terms of beer foam.
But they figured out how much foam you need? to protect that sloshing?
Well, for this study, the magic number is 5 layers of foam. The magic and they that applies to your everyday beer.
5 bubbles?
Five
a stack up of 5 bubbles?
Yes, 5 layers of bubbles stacked upon one another was enough to suppress the sloshing. Everything past 5 was just, you know, extra. Everything below, and you weren't getting the full foamy effect.
So, you know, you wonder if the people like Guinness, like your glass of Guinness there with the foam head on it, they know this sort of thing.
I think the researchers would love it if they paid attention to this. They thought Guinness was the winner in their study. So they studied, I think, 4 different beers: Guinness, Heineken, Corona. No microbrews here. That's for the bubbles. They found that Guinness was the best because it had the finest foam, the smallest bubbles. So that little nitro container inside the can actually does work.
You know, years ago, Richard Zarek came on about this time of the year for New Year's, and he had a video and he explained how in a glass of Guinness there really is a circulation of the bubbles up and down. They sort of defy buoyancy.
I guess
going up and down. So Guinness has gotten a lot of work out of.
Yeah, Guinness has so many wonderful physics properties that, mm-hmm. that we should all be studying.
So where did they go from here? Are they happy with the foam study? They got anything else?
Well, this research group, the Complex Foods Group, is at Princeton University. They want to know, you know, all the different dimensions of foam. And so they're going to keep scaling up and scaling up and scaling up, and hopefully they'll be able to eventually put this in a real-world situation.
Well, the good news about this is you can try this at home.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, it's Friday. Go to your happy hour, and now you'll have something to talk about besides the long work week.
You can bet somebody whether they can race you across the room with their glass of wine and spill it, or versus your little cappuccino or your Guinness.
There. Yes. Practice science responsibly, of course.
And it's up on our video. It's our website. Pick of the week. It's up there on our website. At sciencefriday.com. And if you want to subscribe to our weekly videos, you can click the little subscribe button beneath any of the videos and take this one home with you, so to speak. Thanks, Luke.
Thank you, Ira.